You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. All this broadcast, going to be talking to Joe Dallas, a special edition of the Christian Research Journal available for those who support the ministry. We'll be talking more about that in just a moment. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. I want to start by simply reading an article from the Charlotte Observer. And I want to commend the Observer for printing this article. It's by J. Petter Zane. And in part, he says, a dispute about bathroom rights turned into Pandora's box of philosophical riddles about the nature of identity and the meaning of truth on May 13, when the Department of Justice and Education issued a letter prohibiting discrimination based on a student's gender identity. That letter, of course, issued just a short while ago, May 13. The letter identifies gender identity as an individual's internal sense of gender. It also states there is no medical diagnosis or treatment requirement that students must meet as a prerequisite to being treated consistent with their gender identity. As a sign of politically correct confusion and its legal gymnastics, the administration's letter describes the biological fact of sex as a societal choice. And though the administration might have the best of intentions, its fusion of sex and gender raises complex questions, like race, for example, is even more of a social construct than gender. If we as a society are going to define sex as personal choice, how can we deny the claims of those who do not accept the race they were assigned at birth? In a similar fashion, if one's sex is a choice, why not one's age? As 60 becomes the new 40, we increasingly see age as an attitude rather than a number. And if I believe I'm 65, what basis would anyone have for disagreeing with that? The administration's letter threatens the loss of billions of dollars, not millions, but billions of dollars in federal funds if schools do not define sex as one's internal sense of identity, not biological identity, but internal sense of identity. It might sound absurd, but given that logic, why can't a white person claim the benefits of affirmative action, or a middle-aged man demand Medicare and Social Security services or benefits? If someone and something as clear as someone's sex is up for grabs, then what, pray tell, is not up for grabs? To discuss all of this and more, again, Joe Dallas, Program Director of Genesis Counseling Tustin, California. By the way, this is a Christian counseling service to men dealing with sexual addiction, with homosexuality, and with other sexual relational problems. He's a member of the American Association of Christian Counselors. He's author of several books on human sexuality, including A Strong Delusion, and a forthcoming book. We're going to be promoting that book as soon as it comes out. Speaking of homosexuality, there's no one on the planet that knows this subject like Joe Dallas. And again, he's written the cover story for a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's titled "Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs." He's also titled another article in this journal, "Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity?" This is in the Ethical Discernment column. And essentially, what it deals with is a culture shifting towards condoning behaviors it once condemned. And not only that, but its language. And yet Christians must resist reframing immorality in positive terms. Just as all Christians struggle against cravings for what they know to be wrong and must move past binding their identity to those sinful desires, believers who experience same-sex attraction must carefully define the role that that attraction plays in their self-identification. Again, Joe Dallas is always a great guest, and we're pleased to have you back on the broadcast today.
Hey, thank you for having me, Hank. I appreciate it.
What do you make of the article that I read from?
Strongly agree. I think this is really getting down to a few basic questions, one of which is this. Can my feelings alter reality, and should I therefore demand that reality be subordinate to my feelings, or should my feelings be subordinate to an objective reality which I cannot alter? That's one issue this really comes down to, is do we really have the power to say, I feel, therefore I am? I would argue that we do not. Just as you mentioned, it is absurd to think that if I say I'm 21, I am in fact 21. Now, I won't say I feel I'm 21, Hank, I'm 61, and I feel that plus. But if I did feel 21, if I wanted to be 21, would I really have the right to demand that people comply with my delusion that I am 21, or ought I not to realize the problem is my feelings, and they need to be subordinate to reality, not vice versa? That's one issue we're getting to here. And the other is the sex that we are assigned a foreordained characteristic which should be treasured, or is it an optional characteristic we can change the way we change our hair color? And those are really, to my thinking, two of the foundational issues that all this controversy is bringing us back to.
You point out in the article that society is being taught not only to reject the Bible's directives regarding sex and gender, but also to view them as evidence of hatred. And you give some examples in the article. You talk about a media figure named Dan Savage who spoke at a student journalism conference mocking the Bible. Larry Kramer, a playwright, who referred proudly to his group ACT UP's invasion of a Catholic mass in New York City. Other activists attending a mass held by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops in Washington, D.C., and though openly identifying themselves as homosexual, they demanded that they be served communion. And when the presiding priest refused, they disrupted the communion service. Many other examples in the article. Reality show host Caitlyn Jenner, a show featuring Jenner and friends telephoning Houston area transphobic churches, accusing them of dishonesty and asking if they'd be welcome to show up in a prayer meeting. The article not only opens our eyes to what's going on right now, but gives us a little glimpse of what the future might be.
Well, and it's a bleak future, isn't it, Hank? Outside of our eternal perspective, I would despair. Anybody who has studied Nazi Germany will know that the contempt taught for a whole group of people in the universities this decade will become the persecution of that group a decade from now, as those students graduate and become the movers and shakers of the culture. So what we are seeing now is cultural contempt morphing into the force of law. And as I said, it's a very bleak landscape.
One of the things you point out in the article is that we, in fact, today are taking prerogatives that belong to God alone. So in some sense, it seems like this whole movement is founded on naturalism. In another sense, you think there's some cognitive dissonance here because, in essence, if gender identity is not based on biology, there has to be some metaphysical component to our humanity.
And I think that if there is a metaphysical component to our humanity, you have to fill that void with something. In other words, if you're going to agree there is something above what we experience in the natural, which I think is a very good start, you're going to fill that with something. Now, if the true God of the Bible makes demands of you that are inconvenient to your self-view or what you are willing or not willing to do, you're going to choose another God. You're going to choose one who seems more benign to you, and you're going to say that those who follow the God of the Bible are hateful because they are reminding you of something you do not wish to face. And that is the essence of conviction. When people are experiencing discomfort over something which is amiss in their lives. And I am afraid, Hank, that we are reaching a point where those who even hold and express, even in the gentlest ways, the Judeo-Christian viewpoint, are going to be seen as hateful because their viewpoint will be in concert with what the conscience and the conviction of the Holy Spirit are both trying to tell individuals. And if those individuals are hardening themselves to those influences, they will likewise harden themselves to us and view us as enemies who must be silenced.
Let's go to the phone calls and talk to April. She's listening in Benton, Illinois, Sirius XM 131. April, you're on with Joe Dallas.
Hi, thank you very much. I have to say that I'm a grandma, and I have a son and a daughter who are grown now. And when they were young, I took both my son and my daughter, when my husband wasn't around, into the women's room with me to use the restroom. And when my son hit about 7, he did not want to use the women's restroom anymore, so I let him go in the men's. But I told him before he went in there, hey, if anything funny or somebody tried to do something to you, you yell, because I would stand right outside the door. Now, I have to say, on more than one occasion, I thought he took too long in there, and I have opened the door of the men's room and hollered his name and said, are you all right? Because he knew if he didn't answer me, I was coming in after him because I am a mother bear and I am not going to let something horrible happen to my son. So also, the mall, the closest mall to our home, I found out that a man with all the men's parts sodomized a little boy in that mall where we went. And another man, with all dressed like a man with all the male parts, forced another little boy to perform a sexual act for him. So needless to say, I was on 100% full alert. That's background. Now I have a grandson and a granddaughter, and I feel the same identical way. But for instance, you were talking about Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner. Outwardly, this person looks like a female because he got breast implants, but he still has male genitalia, or she, whatever it is, whatever this gender is. So kind of my question is, so let's say my grandson is in the boys' room, and he's young, and somebody, quote, Caitlyn Jenner, with male genitalia, walk in there, pull up her skirt, and urinate in a urinal. I mean, that's going to shock my grandson for openers.
So your question is, how do you talk to your grandson?
Well, part of it, or another thing that could happen, I'm just saying case scenarios, somebody who's got a male genitalia, but everything else externally looks female, so now it looks like grandma or mom is in the men's room. And all I'm saying is, I think it's Solomon that said there's nothing new under the sun, and 25 years ago, I didn't
April, we got to get to a question here because we are coming up to station break.
Okay, the question is, what is another thing that you can say to your kids when these people that look like one thing and they have the opposite part, like a man?
Joe, how do you discuss this with your children, as in April's case?
April, it's a good question and one that Christian parents are going to have to wrestle with more and more. the choice the Christian families will have will be to either refrain from letting their children use public restrooms, which will be a huge inconvenience, but that may be one option, one that especially parents of young girls may begin taking, or they may teach them to only go to the restroom in pairs, and or teach them that there are that we are different. That's one thing I think we all taught our children as Christian parents, is we're different than the world. We have different values, different standards, and you will see people in the men's room or the women's room dressed as the opposite sex. They believe they are the opposite sex. That's part of the confusion of the time. We love them. We pray for them. You are, of course, to keep yourself safe and call for help if you need it. I think that's the best we can do.
Talking to Joe Dallas again. He's the author of the cover story of a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. You can get your special edition for your support all this month. Check it out on the web, equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of Joe Dallas. Want to talk about the question, is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Be back in just a bit.
Make a difference for truth by supporting CRI's round-the-clock defense of truth. As thanks for your gift today in support of the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, receive the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, featuring two leading-edge articles by Joe Dallas of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs, and Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity? Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Should people who feel they belong to a particular gender be allowed to use public bathrooms restricted to that gender, even if their birth certificate states they belong to the opposite gender? Through recent legislation, some states are answering yes, while others are answering no. Christians must determine how they should respond to this controversy. Other topics include, is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Why biologists tend to make bad ethicists, and much more. Stand with the Christian Research Institute. And as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. www.cri.org. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Talking to Joe Dallas. He's the author of a cover story of a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. That journal available for those who support the ministry all this month. It's a must read. This article is brilliant. It is well stated, and it is to the point of something that is an issue that Western culture is now grappling with. Is gender based on biology? Or is gender based on a deep internal feeling about who you might be? And the point, of course, is that feelings are notoriously unreliable. But feelings are now trumping biology. The article itself is an article that notes that the dispute about bathroom rights has turned into philosophical riddles about the nature of identity and, of course, the meaning of truth. And this is no longer something that we're contemplating or thinking about, but this is something that is now being mandated. If there's noncompliance, there's a penalty to be paid. We address this head-on in a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We need many of you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I don't think that word battle is too strong. Without you, we cannot do what we do. And so we need many of you to support the ministry all this month. June is always a make-it-or-break-it month for our ministry. It is a month in which we catch up. It is the end of our fiscal year, and we do need, again, those who love the ring of truth to stand with us prayerfully and financially. The special edition of the Christian Research Journal includes an article by Joe Dallas. This article is titled, Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity? And Joe, I thought it might be helpful for you to recount the story of Julie Rogers at Wheaton.
Yes, Julie Rogers was written up in Time magazine actually earlier this year, and that's what prompted my writing this article. She was hired on by Wheaton as someone to minister to students there who might be struggling with different issues like homosexuality or gender identity. And Julie openly identified herself as someone who had been involved in lesbian behavior, but who recognized that that was outside of God's will, and therefore she lived a celibate life. But she did continue to identify herself as a gay Christian, even though she held a traditional view about homosexuality. For a while, and yet, with time, after she had been hired at Wheaton, she began to openly state that she now supported same-sex marriage and held different views about sexuality, and she was subsequently dismissed because her views were at odds with Wheaton's views. What I pointed out as being problematic was her use of the term gay Christian, because I believe that even when she was living what we would call an appropriate lifestyle. When she was living a celibate life and not engaged in a lesbian relationship, she still referred to herself as a gay Christian, which was a way of putting a positive spin on feelings that are at least what we would call unfortunate and a product of the fall. I don't believe that Christians who have homosexual temptations should hate themselves for having those temptations. Those Christians are certainly no less holy than anybody else. But I do not believe we should look at our temptations and put what we would call positive or likable terms onto them. I think it is more appropriate if a Christian wrestles with same-sex attraction to simply say, I am a Christian, I wrestle with temptations. At times those temptations are homosexual in nature. But to adopt the term gay Christian to me would be like a Christian man who has a problem with promiscuity calling himself a swinger. That's basically like saying, I think it is rather attractive, this sinful tendency I have, even if I choose not to give in to it. And that's not a biblical way of looking at sinful tendencies.
Talking about another article in this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Again, the article written by Joe Dallas. You can get your copy for your support on the web, equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Paula. She's listening in Kyle, Texas. You're on with Joe Dallas.
Yes, hi. Hank, I spoke to you a couple of years ago. I lived a homosexual lifestyle for about 30 years. I am a born-again Christian. And I have been trying to share my testimony at the church, and there's a young lady, she's about 17 years old, and she was at a church camp, and she was with another girl, and that church told them, that church camp, I'm not going to say whether, I think it was Methodist, and that it was okay. And I spoke to her and shared my testimony, and it didn't really faze her. Now she's 17, and her parents really don't know what to do. They, you know, and the church, the family has actually come to their, you know, girl, because they put the girl in a boarding school, and they went to the boarding school. And I'm just trying to figure out what to do, or when you have a teenager, what do you do? Do you just let them go, or what do you do?
Well, Carla, I praise God for your testimony. I have one real similar to yours, and so I just love hearing from other people who God has, I call it God interfering with us, where he turned us around, and I'm just grateful for his grace in your life and mine and so many others. Unfortunately, I think you're limited in what you can do. She is a minor. She's under her parents' authority. I think generally with teenagers, Christian parents or caregivers can tell them that, one, I know you did not ask for your feelings, so I don't hold that against you. Two, it would be wrong to give in to those feelings, and I want to be here for you to help you do whatever you can to manage them properly. And three, so long as you are under my authority, I will reserve the right to determine who you may associate with, what groups you may go to, and what materials you may bring into the home. And I think that although you're not in that position of authority with this young woman, I think that's ultimately the parental position that her folks should be taking. They were undermined, unfortunately, by another group, in this case the church, and that makes it very hard. But this is something a lot of Christian families are having to deal with, is the fact that what we are teaching our kids in our homes is being undermined by virtually every other secular and sometimes even Christian-identified voices out there. A lot depends on how much influence you have with the family. I would be talking with the parents and asking what, if anything, they would like you to do to help them with the situation, and see if you might not be able to help reach this young woman in that way.
Talking to Joe Dallas, he's the author of a cover story of a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. It is available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. In the article, is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Joe, you write that you're more and more convinced that homosexual is a word best used as an adjective. Unpack that for us.
Yes, not as a noun. I really object, especially to Christian people. Even if there are Christian people who believe that homosexuality is a sin, I would still object to them saying, I am a homosexual, or I am gay. I think those are words that should be judiciously used to describe feelings you may have, but not words to adopt as an overall identity, because in doing so, you are identifying yourself with a sinful tendency. Now, I am the first to admit I'm a sinner. I have sinful tendencies of all sorts, but those tendencies don't define me as a person. They are realities in my life because I still deal with the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. But Hank, why on earth should we take one of the many struggles of the flesh and slap them onto ourselves as a means of self-identification? This, I don't think, is biblical. And I certainly think it enhances a person's preoccupation with that sinful tendency and possibly even serves as a segue for them to return to acting on that sinful tendency.
Joe Dallas again. He is the author of a special edition of the Christian Research Journal, available for those who support the ministry all this month. We need many of you to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Joe, is there any logic to the claims made by people like Bruce Springsteen, Ringo Starr, that bathroom bills are forms of hate?
No, I don't think there is. I would think that there is logic to a statement that there are people who hate transsexuals. I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are people who hate homosexuals. I'm sure there are people who hate all kinds of different groups. But this is a real perversion of the English language we're seeing, Hank. We are now perverting the word hatred to include disapproval or disagreement or different worldview. And if you think about it, anybody who has really been hated knows the difference. Those who are hated are subject to violence and to humiliation and to severe mistreatment. Those who are disagreed with simply have to deal with the fact that not everyone agrees with them. Well, that's life, and we're not doing anyone any favors by teaching them that the world is going to agree with them. So, no, I do not believe for a minute that there's anything accurate about Springsteen or Starr's statement that those who disagree with transgenderism are hateful people. But I think it really does get back to something I mentioned earlier. I think that people feel a deep need to be benevolent to someone, to protect someone from injustice, to be part of a righteous cause. And I think that folks like Springsteen and Starr and many, many other, perhaps millions of people who not only support transgender people and support the transgender cause, but also feel that we who disagree with it hate those people. I think they're basically presuming that they're fighting a moral crusade. And I think that the only way to fight it is to see it in very exaggerated terms. After all, there's nothing heroic about fighting to defend people from people who disagree with them. That's not very heroic. But if you're fighting to protect people from people who hate them, now that's heroic.
When cultural icons, writes Joe Dallas, such as Springsteen and Ringo Starr, dismiss objections to gender-specific bathrooms as hatred, something more than diversity is happening. Society is being taught not only to reject the Bible's directives regarding sex and gender, but also to view them as evidence of hatred and to view those of us who promote them as peddlers of bigotry who need to be stopped. Again, the cover story of the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's available for those who support the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the many outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the web, equip.org, and we'll be right back with more Joe Dallas.
As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast so stay tuned. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to fallen human nature. Our culture is in free fall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Stand with Hank and the Christian Research Institute during June to end the year in fiscal strength and ensure that CRI's arsenal of Bible Answer Man broadcasts, Christian Research Journal articles, e-truths, and other resources remain globally accessible. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing outreaches. As our thanks, we'll rush to you the new issue of the Christian Research Journal, featuring cutting-edge articles including Joe Dallas's Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI or visit online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and return to my conversation with Joe Dallas. He's written the cover story of the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Again, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web, equip.org, or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Joe, I want to remind you of something that you wrote. You wrote in this special edition of the Christian Research Journal that Christian publisher Waterbrook Multnomah Press released God and the Gay Christian, which is a book calling for a pro-gay reinterpretation of the Bible written by self-identified gay Christian Matthew Vines. And Stephen Cobb, chief publishing executive for Waterbrook Press, defended the company's support for Vines, referring to him as a bold young evangelical writer. And I bring up this, which you've written about in this special edition of the Journal. I bring this up because oftentimes we're asking the question, what is the church to do when the culture is involved in a precipitous decline or slide, when the church is at the forefront of initiating the precipitous slide?
It was disappointing to see Multnomah Press make the decision to publish that book. In our culture, Hank, I am all for diversity of opinion. I think that the secular culture should be kept as a safe place to exchange different worldviews, different moral positions, different structures of viewing life. Within the church and within the church population, including the products we put out in the name of Christianity, we have got to have orthodoxy. And when the church is beginning to be influenced by the world rather than the world being influenced by the church, of course, something is very wrong. Either Mr. Cobb adopted a revised view of the Bible and now believes that the Bible legitimizes homosexuality, or he adopted what I call the minimizing position, by which he said, well, we can agree to disagree within the church on this issue. This is sort of like perhaps a discussion between charismatics versus non-charismatics. You say tomato, I say tomato, but we're still in communion. And I would say, no, there are some issues that are so vital that we cannot be in communion in general if we are not in unity on those issues. And I believe this is one of them. I think the New Testament will back up my contention that sexual morality is a primary moral and doctrinal issue. It is not what we call an issue unto salvation. You don't get saved by believing the right things about sex. Of course not. But it was an issue important enough to warrant the first recorded case of church discipline. Paul told believers not to be in communion with other believers who practice blatant immorality. He qualified sexual sin as having a specifically heinous impact on the individual as a sin against one's own body. So I think that both Multnomah and Mr. Cobb made a serious mistake, both in putting out that book and certainly in promoting it.
We're talking about a basic issue in the special edition of the Christian Research Journal, the issue of how you determine gender. Should biology determine gender, or can an individual's internal sense of gender define whether they're male or female? And I raised this question earlier, but I'd like to see you cash this out a little bit, Joe, the ramifications of this kind of logic, because it seems to me, and this may be a stretch, it may not be, I'd be interested in your opinion, but it seems to me that you could be a 61-year-old man or a 65-year-old man, and you could have sex with a 10-year-old boy. In other words, you could be engaged in pedophilia, and then you could have a great defense by simply saying, I am not 65. That's just a number. My age is not defined by that number. It's not defined by my biological age. It's defined by my feelings. I only feel as though I'm 11, and that could be a way of copping out of being involved in pedophilia. In other words, there are just extravagant logical conclusions you can come to once you adopt this form of reasoning.
There's no question, Hank, that you can. In fact, I think logic will demand it. If we have the power to determine what sex we are by the way we feel, we must also have the power to determine what age we are, or to determine any other number of variables. Now, the pedophilia argument works both ways, you know, Hank. The 61-year-old man could say, I feel like an 11-year-old. That is one possible argument. The other would be for the 11-year-old to say, I feel like a grown man. Therefore, this was not pedophilia. Now, does that sound far-fetched? I'll tell you a very ugly fact about my own life. as a teenager, and I mean a young teenager, I routinely engaged in sexual liaisons with adult men. I was very young when I was first molested as a little boy, but as a teenager from the time I was 14 years old until I was 16 and became a Christian, as a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old, I routinely sought out and engaged in sexual relations with adult men. I felt like an adult. I felt like an equal to these men. Now, I look at this now, and I'm astonished at the insanity of it all and my horrible decisions I made. But the point is, if we are going to say that people can determine their reality by their feelings, then you have no logical argument for saying that I or the men who had sex with me did the wrong thing, because we both felt that we were equals, therefore we were equals. And Hank, you're right. You take this logic to its extreme, and it's got some pretty astounding ramifications, because it means that we are basically assuming the prerogative to determine reality by what we feel. If I don't feel I murdered you, then I didn't murder you. It was an accident. That's extreme, but there you go.
Yeah, there are many extreme things going on right now in the culture. You think about the law professor, Eugene Volokh, who is pointing out that businesses can be fined up to six figures for knowingly using the wrong pronouns to refer to a customer or an employee. Talk about the pronouns. I mean, we have to learn a whole new lexicon.
You're going to have a hard time keeping up with it. Many of our listeners by now, I'm sure, are thinking of 1984 and Animal Farm. Because in those futuristic nightmare stories by Orwell, one of the things that was imposed on the citizenry was a whole new vocabulary. You had to learn new words to represent new concepts, and you had to keep abreast of the ever-changing vocabulary, or else you would be guilty of a thought crime. And this really is what we are introducing to the culture at this time. We are basically saying that we can redefine not only reality, but the concept of terms we commonly held in common usage are now subject to the cultural elite, who can reframe them and then punish you if you don't go along with that reframe.
Give us a summary of what you're driving at in the cover story of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal.
We are looking at something much more than gender, more than bathrooms, more than laws protecting girls from having to shower with boys, although all of those are really very, very important topics. But we really are looking at the future of our civilization. Now, that sounds like an unbearably dramatic take on the situation, but Hank, it is not. Because we are, in essence, conducting a vast social experiment by which we are attempting to blur all distinctions. If we blur all distinctions, we blur individuality, we blur the distinct edges that differentiate men and women, we blur the uniqueness that God has given us, we become veritable drones. Drones lose much of the God-given majesty that they were given as human beings, and drones are easily manipulated by groupthink, easily controlled. The less individualistic we are, Hank, the less protective we will be of what we've been given. If the sexes are blurred, that's going to mean a blurring of the definition of marriage and family, of permanence, of the family unit. The less committed we are to the distinctions which make us a family, the less committed we will be to the family unit, which will mean less personal responsibility, less productivity, less of a sense of ownership, and thereby less of a sense of feeling that we have something worth protecting and valuing. So the ramifications for the culture are huge, and the ramifications for the church are huge. We must be prepared, and I mean now, to face a very real onslaught of, I'll use the P word, persecution, aimed at Christian universities, parachurch ministries and denominations, and Christian counselors and Christian leaders, who defy these new limitations that are being imposed on the culture. If there is going to be any form of wide-scale persecution of Christian people, I am convinced it will come through the avenue of these new gender limitations and impositions. And we will be forced with a decision to either comply with them for the sake of getting along or defying them regardless of the consequences. And those consequences may include loss of tax-exempt status, criminalization, lawsuits, any number of social sanctions. People who graduate from Christian universities may find that they will not be able to find work as attorneys or as therapists because they graduated from institutions that do not conform to the new definitions regarding gender. The ramifications are huge, but I think that they are already well underway. I think that we will need to be prepared for them, and collectively we are all going to have to ask ourselves, are the gender binaries of male and female primary issues worth dying on the hill for, or are they secondary issues we can sacrifice to cultural trends? That to me is the ultimate question here.
A sober note to end the broadcast on. Joe, thank you so much for your support of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and your contribution to the Christian Research Journal.
Hank, it's always an honor. Thank you for having me.
Joe Dallas, again, he has written the cover story for the edition of the Christian Research Journal, available for those who support the ministry all this month. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We're just out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Just enough time to say thank you for standing with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. Should people who feel they belong to a particular gender be allowed to use public bathrooms restricted to that gender, even if their birth certificate state they belong to the opposite gender? Read Joe Dallas's incisive article of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. As the culture shifts toward condoning behaviors it once condemned, so does its language. Yet Christians must resist reframing immorality in positive terms. Is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Other topics include of bathroom bills and basic beliefs, the embodiment of heroism manifest in Christ,
thought for food, the genetic fallacy, why accept the Pythagorean theorem, and much more. Stand with CRI during the month of June, and as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.